Being outside as Black, Indigenous, or women of color comes in various shapes and forms. Our mother tongues might not even be able to translate our relationships with nature for one another. Yet from the spiritual to the athletic, we have always been outside. Today is our moment to reconnect and redefine our ancient connections with the land. Tomorrow will be our time to celebrate the lessons learned along the way.
See us outside. Vernos afuera.
Cap nhau bên ngoài.
Voyez-nous dehors.
Nos veja lá fora.
Dingdanmo kami sa labas.
Hame bahar dekhiye.
Keen or hey chipping.
See us outside.
See Us Outside is a special 4-part She Explores miniseries made in collaboration with the Cairn Project with support from the Walton Family Foundation. I'm Gabachia Moreno, your guide in exploring the unique relationships girls and young women of color have with the outdoors, including the forces outside of our control that sometimes keep us from pursuing timing nature, and the work of 4 organizations striving to create more access and opportunities for us to get outside. This is the final installment of the series, Episode 4, Looking to the Future Today. Before we look ahead, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that's been reiterated again and again throughout the series. We are out here, today. A voice memo we received helps tell this story.
Hello, and my name is Brandy Lee Johnson, based in New York City. I've been traveling ever since I was a little girl. So far, I've been to 43 countries, 7 continents, as well as Antarctica, and I love every minute of it. At the age of 8, I went to sleepaway camp and did that to about the age of 21 years. And so I am very acclimated with the outdoors. But I would say that some positive aspects of spending time outside and being able to learn some new skills outdoors, it definitely made a great impact in my life as far as me being able to communicate with people, knowing that I can face any challenge that may come my way. I learned so much about myself, whether that's camping, rafting, rock climbing, bouldering, sleeping overnight. I'm really able to put any of those skills that I learned to the test. And I truly do enjoy it. And I try to pass that on to other people that I meet. And I would also say that I enjoy going outdoors with women of color. I feel that I'm in my element. I feel that I'm in my place. And it's almost as it's a place that I belong when I am hiking or doing outdoor trips with women of color. It's kind of like you recognize them and you're like, hey, I see you. You see me. We here. Hey, we the only ones here. And so it allows you to feel more comfortable as opposed to being with other ethnic groups when you are on these hiking trips or overnight trips, which I'm definitely used to. But when you are in your element with women of color, it definitely sets the tone a little bit. And you're saying, hey, I'm here. You see me. I see you. And we can do the same thing that they do. So what? Let's go ahead and do it better. And so I think my hopes for the travel industry is that as women of color, we're able to bring ourselves to the forefront of the outdoor community so that we are seen and that we are heard, which is important because we do the same thing, but we're not seen. And I want us to be seen and I want us to be heard. We got to get out there, women of color, and we have to hike.
Brandy Lee mentioned hiking as an example, but there are so many different opportunities for showing up as yourself outdoors. When I asked Cristal Cisneros, an instructor for the Trailblazers program at Women's Wilderness, about her hopes for the future for girls and women of color outdoors, she emphasized that there is no set narrative. If you didn't catch the earlier episodes, Trailblazers is an outdoor program for women of color that is led by women of color. Here's Cristal.
My hopes is that they just find joy in being able to enjoy nature in whatever way they do personally. So if that's gardening, awesome. If that is backpacking, amazing. If that's hiking, kudos. If that's rock climbing, so cool. You know, just like finding, there's no set definition of what outdoor recreation should be. And I think I really want young women, girls of color, to understand that there's no set narrative of what it means to engage with nature. However you feel authentic in engaging with nature, that is just as important as people climbing Mount Everest. So if it's like barbecues in your backyard, hey, you're outside, you're enjoying fresh air, you love the sun. If that is what you feel is outdoor recreation and engagement with nature, I 100% support that. So that's the biggest thing, is really encouraging young girls of color, women of color, to change the narrative of what it means to be outdoorsy.
Oh, that was like a big hug to my heart. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Christy Peoples, who is also an instructor for the Trailblazers program, really wants women to own our accomplishments and honor our bodies, however they allow us to move through the natural world.
We are doing hard things, and these hard things are part of the adventure, and our bodies carry us over the roads and the trails and the mountains and the hills, and we scale rocks and we climb mountains and we swim and we do all this stuff. And yet, oh my goodness, I have lines. Oh, I have a little bit of extra padding. Oh, it's just me. I am so done with that, because our adventures are our own, and we need to honor them as such without degrading them by saying, oh, but yeah, and well, we got to embrace the adventure because this is amazing and our bodies are fantastic, you know, in whatever condition or whatever pace, whatever you deem is adventurous, get with it. You know,
I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's a lot to be said about our culture in the ways that we carry mm-hmm. these narratives of, I just did something that I have to apologize for, or that is not as good as someone else's, so I'm not going to celebrate it fully.
Right, right. No more of that, please.
In looking into the future, what is your hope for girls of color when it comes to the outdoors?
That they see themselves in it, you know, that everyone, not just folks that have a certain amount of money in their bank account, that have a certain color, that feel like they fit into a certain concept of masculinity or femininity, feel that that can be a refuge and, you know, a place to grow and be together in community with people and to feel whole and to feel safe in a country where I think a lot of us right now on the backside of the past 4 years do not feel safe. I want to see the outdoors become much more of an antidote.
This is Sarah Murray, Executive Director of Women's Wilderness. She goes on to stress that as much as representation is important, the work of nonprofits and programs like the ones you've heard featured throughout the series is crucial to changing the future of the outdoors.
So totally commend the activists that are helping to change the system, which I think really matter. And as well, the folks that are doing the direct service, because those things in order for the system to change, we have to look at policy. We have to look at private sector. we have to look at activism, which is really key, and it's not the same thing as direct service. And so if there's folks listening that want to think about where do they volunteer, where do they invest their money, where do they invest their time, I just think it's really important to look at the systems approach to this, and that it's great when there's a woman of color on the cover of REI. We absolutely need that. REI is one of our partners. It's amazing when we have an Instagram, you know, Patagonia that's talking about, you know, non-binary and queer folks in the outdoors. So important. And if we don't invest in direct service, that there's going to be an incomplete picture here. We also have to make sure that backpacks are on backs, that hiking boots are on for folks, and new opportunities are created. And that's a ground game that I think is sometimes an afterthought.
Karina Zavala, the volunteer coordinator at Charles Roundtree Bloom Project, an outdoor organization that serves youth who are impacted by family incarceration, also talked about reducing barriers of access when I asked her about her hopes for the future.
My hope is that all girls have the opportunity to experience the outdoors, and that they have accessibility to transportation, outdoor gear, and to someone that can show them the outdoors or that can talk to them about the outdoors. My hope is that girls of color know that the outdoors is for them, and that they don't feel like they can't go backpacking just because they think it's not for them. Mm-hmm. And that's my hope, that someone is there for them and mentoring them.
What role do you hope that the Bloom Project plays into that future?
Yeah, I see our organization growing in the near future, and I see creating mentorships and partnerships to help girls have access to the outdoors and having someone to talk about the outdoor experience as a person of color, and having, I think, also the youth lead and be part of the organization and deciding what they want the future to be like.
This communal approach to nature will make the outdoors more welcoming for more people, breaking down colonizer mentalities of conquering mountains and gatekeeping outdoor knowledge. Kiamber Thompson, director and founder of the Bloom Project, shared her hopes for young people of color.
For girls of color in the outdoors, I really hope that they come to see the outdoors as a space where they belong and are able to find the outdoors as a space of curiosity and adventure and healing, and find real connection there, and are able to build community in the outdoors. Access to nature is a human right, and so yeah, I just hope that girls of color are able to feel like they belong.
Yakuta Punuwala sent in this beautiful submission, sharing how her hopes are connected to her cultural background and the wisdom of her mother.
When I would come back from my time in nature, my mother was the first to use the word noor, an Arabic word which means light, a magical glow that surrounds your face when you've had a deep and transformative experience of joy, connection, liberation, perhaps an awakening. She would say, Tara mo par kitlu noor che, jannat jevu noor. There's such an angelic glow on your face, just like heaven. As women, we have to worry about so much when we plan our time in nature. Will it be safe for me? Will I have other women for company? Will the male leader or facilitator of this outdoor trip hear my voice and acknowledge my presence? Will the world see me as strong, courageous, and bold? With all these thoughts weighing us down, our noor is invisible. It's hard to feel it or sense it. My hope is that every single woman in this world can experience this jannat and have this noor without fear, worry, or anxiety. I'll leave a haiku for all my women friends. You can shut us down, but we rise again daily with resilience.
Building on this idea of belonging, Mira Manikam Shirley, co-founder and executive director of Round Girl Surf, spoke of breaking down the invisible barriers that exist for women of color when it comes to seeing themselves surfing.
I want to credit one of our volunteers, Jamila Hubbard, who she's the person who kind of shared this story, her own story of she is a highly, highly, highly accomplished Black woman who her best friend became obsessed with surfing, and she would go to the beach and watch her friend surf and without thinking that this was something she could do. And then at some point, I think her friend convinced her to try it. And she sort of refers to that time when she was just sitting in the car watching as sort of this time where she had this imaginative barrier that didn't feel like this was just not something she imagined was for her. And I think what Brown Girl Surf does and what we want to grow and expand and make more widespread is this idea that this is for us and this is the ocean is for everyone, and to create just a sense of belonging and an understanding that we all deserve to be here, right? And this space belongs to us, belongs to everyone, so that there's no imaginative barrier between here I am as myself and here I could be as a surfer, that it just it feels like something that you can step out and do if you are called. So yeah, I think for Brown Girl Surf, we hope to see a world where you can just drive to any surf break and just see tons of women and tons of girls and tons of girls and women of color and tons of people of all ages and shapes and sizes and backgrounds just surfing. And that we as surfers all, I think, embrace this idea of, you know, the ocean is, she is bigger than us and we need to take care of her. And she is for all of us.
To know we can do or enjoy something, it's in part a learned experience. If nobody tells us that we can, if it doesn't occur to us that we can, if we don't see others like us doing or enjoying activities like surfing, kayaking, backpacking, it's less likely that we will be curious to try them. Michelle Kay submitted a voice memo which echoes these sentiments.
When I was growing up, what I wish someone had told me about spending time outdoors was that it was possible and that it was healing and that it was for me and for people who look like me. I grew up in Alberta, Canada, where the nature is quite spectacular, but didn't learn to enjoy it until I was an adult. My parents emigrated from Hong Kong, where it is a very crowded city, and they landed in Alberta, where there is a lot of space and nature, but they didn't take advantage of it. We were just never told that it was for us. We didn't see people that looked like us that were out enjoying the outdoors. What I love about experiencing the outdoors with other women of color is this feeling of pure joy when we're out hiking or cycling or just being in the fresh air and the, you know, sunny skies. My hopes for the future and for the outdoor industry is to see more Black, Indigenous, women of color, gender non-binary folks, disabled folks in positions of power, and not just in ad campaigns or commercials, but actually calling the shots and making decisions. Nobody owns the outdoors. It isn't meant to be one particular group that are gatekeepers. It's meant to be shared and appreciated by everyone.
In a year when the organizations featured in the series were not able to meet in person like they normally would, looking to the future also comes with an extra layer of appreciation for getting to uplift each other and nurture community face to face. Alexis Krauss, co-founder of Young Women Who Crush, shared the sentiment when I asked her about her hopes.
Oh, I mean, I'm really grateful that we've all been trying to find these silver linings to this pandemic. And, you know, we were out together this past Saturday on this beautiful, beautiful day, chilly but sunny day. And we had about seven mentees and about five mentors out. And we just had this moment where we're like, against all odds, like we're here. We made this happen. And, you know, I was thinking about one of our mentees, Kristen, and she lives down in South Brooklyn. And so she walked 20 minutes to the subway station. She left her house at 4:30 in the morning and, you know, walked to the subway station and had to wait for the subways to start running, and then was on the train for over an hour. And then she met at the gym, and then she got in the van and drove 2 hours to go rock climbing. And like, just the amount of effort sometimes that it takes to like get to these places and the commitment that it takes. And like, it's like I said, it's always like against all odds, against like a pandemic and just all of these challenges, like we're all here. And that's how much this program matters to all of us. Like we're here, we showed up. And I don't know that without the pandemic, like that sort of understanding would have been possible. And so I think now, like we've always been really grateful for our time together, but now like even more when we have those in-person moments, it just feels so, so incredibly powerful. And I just cannot wait to like get out west and you know, get like, we want to go climbing all over the world and all over the country. And I think we have that potential. So yeah, I'm just really excited for where we're going to go. And I'm so excited to see what, you know, a lot of our girls are in college now or they're graduating high school. And I'm just so excited to see like what they do and how they share those gifts with the world. And they're already, you know, starting their own climbing clubs and bringing, you know, diversifying climbing in their spaces now. And so I just can't wait to see what they do next.
Oh, I can't wait to see either. I mean, I just read a few of the stories on your website, and I was, you know, as a person that grew up somewhere where there's no rock climbing, I thought, what an amazing opportunity to just be faced with the opportunity and be able to not only have a space where you can go practice, but also to get outside and go on a wall and share the experience with other women. That just sounds fabulous.
Yeah, so, you know, it is. And we're really invested in the program and I'm just excited to see where we go and what adventures we go on.
Learning about the work of organizations like Young Women Who Crush, Women's Wilderness, Charles Roundtree Bloom Project, and Brown Girls Serve has shown me that the hopes for the future we all want for women of color in the outdoors are filled with excitement and action. Arlene shared a submission telling us what she hopes will change from the industry leaders to create momentum for a more inclusive outdoor culture.
My hopes for the outdoor industry and outdoor recreation is that I hope they create an environment and put in the work to make it more inclusive for everyone. I hope that young girls and women of color, when they're entering and when they're starting to explore the outdoors, that it's more inclusive for them, that they're able to see people like them on social media accounts, on magazines, you know, for the outdoor at REI, that they feel like they are welcome in this place, because growing up, I didn't get to see that. So I hope for them it changes and they feel like it doesn't matter what color you are, what background you're from, you are considered a real outdoorsman, a real outdoorswoman. I just hope that that changes for us. And I can't wait to see what the future has in store for all of us in the outdoor industry.
Our experiences outdoors as Black, Indigenous, or women of color are far too layered, too complex, the roots running so deep that we're able to just scratch the surface of it in 4 episodes. But to the women of color who are listening, I hope you felt heard and that you found some comfort and hope in the series. And for everyone else, I hope that from now on, whenever you see a woman of color outside,
that you have a deeper appreciation for her presence. And before we say goodbye, I want to invite you to find and reflect on your own role in all of this. And get to know us. Take us with you, amplify us, defend us, believe us, listen to us, respect us, and see us outside.
I got flowers in my hair. Skin is glowing in the daylight. Settled in my resting cage. Hands over my heart intertwined. Dry, dripping like it won't stop. Diamonds on my face. Hands that keep taking.
This was episode 4 of See Us Outside, the final installment of a 4-part She Explores miniseries made in collaboration with the Cairn Project and made possible with a grant by the Walton Family Foundation. All 4 parts are available in your feed now. We want to say thank you to Cairn Project and specifically Allison Wright and Sarah Castle for their support in bringing this series to life. You can learn more about the Cairn Project and their work to make outdoor experiences more accessible for girls and young women by heading to their website at cairnproject.org. You can learn more about Young Women Who Crush, Women's Wilderness, Charles Roundtree Bloom Project, and Brown Girl Surf through the links in our show notes and via the landing page at she-explores.com. Thank you, Mira Monicum Shirley, Alexis Krause, Christy Peoples, Kiamber Thompson, Sarah Murray, Karina Zavala, and Cristal Cisneros for their time and conversation. The voice memos included in this episode were submitted by Brandilee Johnson, Jakuta Punavala, Michelle Kay, and Arlene. The opening See Us Outside compilation includes the voices of Marinel de Jesus, Jakuta Punavala, Miggy PNEND, Fernanda Jardine, Arlene, Chi Pham, Denise Meeker, and Doreen Wong. And it includes Spanish, French, Portuguese, Tagalog, Hindi, Vietnamese, Cantonese, and English. Music in this series is all by women of color via MusicBed. Featured in this episode are Joy Ike and Sita. This episode was hosted by me, Gabache Moreno, and produced by me, Gail Straub, and Noel Russell. See Us Outside is a She Explores miniseries and a production of Ravel Media. I want to extend one final thank you to the team at Ravel Media. It has been a humbling opportunity to work alongside so much talent. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of amplifying the important work of these organizations that we featured in the series. And thank you for the immense support throughout the process. Lastly, I want to thank you for the openness to have the at times challenging conversations on race and gender that were so needed and that have allowed us to tell these stories with as much respect as we can. Thank you.